read through this morning, what Andrew shared with some of the songs that we sang, what Sylvia's just shared there, and I'm feeling a little bit vulnerable because I'd prepared a talk and I had a lot to say, and I took like a quarter of it away. I've still got a lot to say, and I'm thinking I need to scrap most of that talk and just talk about the end bit, and the rest can come at some other time maybe, because I feel God wants to do something special for some people this morning. And my talk was called, oh, we're not on there yet, can we get that up there please, Rod? Talk is called, it's still called, The Old Has Gone and the New Has Come. Simon, do you like the white? He's teaching me a bit of graphic design here. White and blue, is that all right, Simon? Maybe he's not around now, okay. The Old Has Gone and the New Has Come. And I'm going to have to whiz through here because there was a lot of things I wanted to say. We talked about Caleb last week, and he was wholehearted, and we'll touch on all this. How do we keep a vision alive? Loads of stuff there. It was a really good talk, this was going to be. But you can hear all this another time. Serve the vision, keep hold of the bigger picture. Joshua was a friend of Caleb's. And I was going to talk on some of these things here, which I didn't have time for either. But he went into the promised land. He was the other half of that 3 million that went into the promised land. He was a servant. He was a God chaser. When Geraldine said last week about the coming through the car park and just something changed in her, she's not the first person to have said that. And there's something about being aware of his presence. Joshua was aware of his presence. Joshua loved the presence of God. There was another good sermon there. He received through impartation. But where are we? Joshua had to let go of the past to get hold of the future. And this is really what I want to talk about today. Joshua had to let go of the past in order to get hold of the future. A new season is dawning. I'm going to read this scripture from Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to you. To the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. This was a new season about to be birthed. Isaiah, a few hundred years later, says this, Isaiah 43, verse 16, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, this is what Joshua would have had experienced, well, 40 years earlier now, who drew the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick, the most powerful army in the world at that time. Was snuffed out like a wig. This is what the Lord says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I feel this is the word of the Lord for us. I've shared something similar before. I still think it needs to be said. I still think it needs to be grasped. I still think it needs to be entered into. It's time to leave the old and to embrace the new. Because the old has gone and the new has come. Joshua was taking the children of Israel, which is a picture of the church, into a new season, into a new era. And Joshua, when this word came, was struggling. For a start, he had to follow on from Moses. And that was a pretty hard act. You see, Moses was the greatest prophet. Moses was one of the greatest men of God ever to have lived. He's described as a friend of God. God used to come and speak to him. Moses would go into the tent of meeting. Well, the others would as well. But every time Moses came, a cloud came down. It was amazing. He was a friend of God. He would speak and commune face to face with God. He persuaded God, even on one occasion, to change his mind. He was a great prophet, a great leader. And Joshua was called to follow. But Moses never fulfilled the total destiny. He never got the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. That was the call of God on his life, not to bring them into the desert. It was to get them out of Egypt, all the way through to the promised land. And great as Moses was, and they loved him latterly, and they appreciated and respected him, he never was able to do what God's intention was to do. That blessing fell on Joshua. And so the Lord says to Joshua, it's time. Moses is dead. That season of blessing, that season of intimacy, that season that we've experienced for the last 40 years under this great leader who used to speak face to face with me, that's finished now, Joshua. There's a new season coming, and you're called to take the people into this new dimension, into this land. I just wanted to bring a little, not a warning as such, but just think we've got to be careful about something here. You see, there's a desire in our hearts, a growing desire to see, and we need to see much more of the supernatural. You know, I'm pained when I know there's sick people here, and after prayer they're still sick. You know, I'm pained when situations aren't getting resolved, which I think need to get resolved. I struggle with, you know, if it was like nobody ever got healed ever, I would think, well, maybe we've got scripture wrong. But some get healed and some don't. And I know that we're living in part and there's more to come and the kingdom is coming and everything else. And it's right that we should be expecting more of God and more of the supernatural. It's right that we should be expecting to experience more of his presence. You know, and I love the emphasis, particularly that some, you know, about soaking in the presence of the Lord. It's like, well, there's so much to do out there, but Lord, I just need to come and spend time with you. And if I'm going to be more effective out there, then I know I've got to come and spend time with you and receive from you and be filled up by you. You see, intimacy is important too. I'm not saying anything against any of that sort of stuff. But Israel, you see, experienced all of this sort of stuff. They experienced incredible miracles. I mean, I was reading somewhere by Derek Prince, you know, to feed 3 million people, I forget, it was going to be a train about 1.5 miles long of carriages full of quails, you know, to feed that number of people in the desert. And somehow God did that, but not just once, he did it. And they had food to eat. And you think, you know, this is absolutely mind-blowing, incredible miracles that they talked about in the wilderness. But the thing is, they were still in the wilderness. They weren't in the place God wanted for them. The miracles were there. And churches can settle, you know, for experiences and supernatural aspects and all of this, that, and the other. But that isn't God's intention. Well, not his final intention. That's part of the journey that we might inherit the land and enjoy the promises and the destiny and the blessings of God. Did you hear what I'm saying? No, you don't. Okay, I'll say it again. You know, if we're just going to settle and we just want a miracle, we just want an experience when we come on Sunday, or we want an experience of God on our carpet, in our house, and we feel like we're getting there, or we've got there, we're missing out something very, very important. Because the children of Israel enjoyed all of that. But there's something more. There's a promised land to get hold of. There's a destiny to fulfill. There's a vision to accomplish. God has called us for a purpose. The children of Israel, they were charismatic. They experienced incredible miracles. But they all missed God's best because they wouldn't believe. And that resulted in disobedience. If I'm honest with you, I could almost have settled for their experience in the wilderness. It was absolutely incredible. But actually, God had something much better for them. But they all missed out, the whole lot, because they wouldn't believe and they wouldn't obey. There is a bit of a warning in it, isn't there? Let's be careful. Let's receive all that God wants to give us. Let's hunger for it. Let's discern earnestly spiritual gifts. But let's see, because there's a purpose to fulfill. There's a goal that God is calling us to. And God's given us a vision. And he's given us a building to help facilitate the vision. But church, let's not settle for anything less than embracing his dream and his heart for Lifespring, for Reading, for the UK and beyond. Let's not settle for a building and just be happy in that building. That's to facilitate a vision. I said the other week, another little thing for you to think about. Actually, it's the 144 group. I said, souls are the only thing we take when we die. And I had to think about that when Kate says I must have read it. I've read it or heard it somewhere. Souls are the only thing we can take when we die. Everything else is left behind. Careers, business success, fine houses, nice cars, lovely family and children. We could have supernatural ministry and this, that, and the other. But all that's left behind when Jesus comes. But the only thing that we can take with us, say to him, is, but Lord, look what we've done as a church. We were a couple of hundred people, Lord. Now there's 5,000 people. Because we've reached out. We've won. This was the fruit of our ministry. And they're with us. Because they've all saved. They've all received eternal life. I mean, did you see what I'm saying? I mean, we can have all the other stuff, and he wants us to have all the other stuff, but we can't take any of that with us. But we can take my neighbour, who I've led to the Lord. We can take that family who've come and found the Lord. We can take this people and that person, and because the Lord's used us. And they'll be with us in heaven and celebrating with us. Hallelujah. So God's got a destiny. He's got a plan for this church to see many saved, to see many won for Jesus, to grow cells. Cells where people are loved, cared for, saved, taught, encouraged, and discipled. I believe it's God's destiny for us. Family restoration. It's a vision which is going to change our lives and can impact this town. Being fruitful is God's blessing and expectation. If you read John 15, there's no way around. He expects us to be fruitful. He's called us, he's chosen us to be fruitful. And we may not all be evangelists, and we may not all find it easy to share the gospel, but we might not also all find it easy to pray, and we might not all find it easy to lead cells or to be involved with youth and children, but together, as a body, we can do all these things. And as a body, we can see a church which grows. As a body, we can be a church which wins, which consolidates, which disciples and sends. It's his vision, church. It's what he did. People say, where have you got this from? Well, it's what he did. Church, he's calling us to do the same. So, it was Joshua's role. You can see why I didn't have too much time to say all the other stuff as well, can't you? It was Joshua's role to take this church, this congregation, the people of Israel, into a new season and to help them inherit God's destiny and God's promises. And the land is ready and was ready for the taking. Isaiah reminds the children of Israel, forget the past. You know, he's recounting that amazing deliverance from Egypt. He says, forget the past. Forget all the good things. And we've seen many good things. We've seen many blessings. I remember the time when God just came here and there were bodies just all over the place. And our visiting speakers didn't have an opportunity to speak because God just turned up in an amazing way. We've seen some miracles. We've seen people healed. We've seen people saved. There's a lot that we can be thankful for. But actually, church, that's in the past. I know we've had our challenges and difficulties, and that's in the past too. But God's moving us on. This is a new opportunity. It's a new season. Hallelujah. We've been given an amazing vision because it's his vision. We've been given an amazing building to help facilitate the vision. And if we're going to facilitate all that God's got for us, we need to leave the past behind. We need to press on and get hold of what God's got for us. Now, this is where I wanted to really get to. To get hold of the future, we must let go of the past. Put it another way, you cannot get hold of the future if you won't let go of the past. And this is the word I feel for some people. So I just want to talk on a few areas because the past will be a snare to us. It will hold us back. That's why Isaiah says, you've got to forget it. You must move on. And I want to talk about, as I say, a few areas. One is heart issues. Offense. Misunderstanding. Rejection. Disappointment. We must let them go. If that resonates in you, you've got a choice. Dwell in the past and stay where you are. Or decide to repent, to turn around. To let them go. We must move on. That's why we have encounters. At one time, I used to say to my team of 12, I said, every year, I want you to go on an encounter. We've slackened it a little bit now. Why? Because I want us to be healed and whole. And I know that throughout 12 months, there can be all sorts of things that can come into our lives. And if we try to keep, well, don't try, but if they stay with us, we'll not be able to embrace all that God's got for us. We need to be healed. We need to be set free. Living with rejection will hold you back. You'll be blaming everybody else, but actually, it's in here. God wants to set you free because he's accepted you. Living with offense will hold you back. You might think, I've forgotten it now. It's in the past. No, you need to deal with it, move on, forget it, and move on. These are real issues which we need to deal with because God's got a plan for us. He's got a destiny. He's got a calling. And we'll never receive it if we keep these things in our hearts. Living with disappointment will hold you back. And who hasn't been disappointed? Of course we have. It will hold us back, though, if we allow that to remain. It's possible to be free. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So don't live in denial or you'll never go forward. Don't pretend it's all right if it's not, because there's good news for you. You just need to open up and allow him to come in and he'll change your life. So heart issues we need to deal with. Now this is for me, but it will, excuse me, this is for me, but it'll have a different understanding for you depending on your church background. But I never wanted a building. For me, the church is people. And it was never a building. And when we started 30 or so years ago, I was happy not to have any buildings to worry about. I heard people say, and I would agree with them, just think, you know, what you could have done with that £1 million? You know, you've spent it all on bricks and mortar, don't you know? You know, there's people, there's poor people, there's ministries here, there's that there, there's all the other. I was in that camp. You know, I could have agreed, yes, it's people that we need to be investing in. And for 20 years or so, that was me. That was my mentality. I was brought up like house church. You know, we meet in houses. It's wherever we are. It's church. But then, for me, a bigger vision came. A vision not just to keep meeting in houses, but a vision to impact Reading. A vision to make a difference in the UK. I began to visit and see and hear of churches which were making a big difference and how they were using their buildings. And I'm not saying you've got to have a building to do that. Hillsong have done pretty well without one in London. 12,000-15,000 people or whatever they are. But anyway, we are where we are and God's given us a building. And this house church mentality has to be left behind. This small, cozy mentality of just fellowship and worship and we just know everybody and we just like it is. Don't let this get too big. You know, this is cozy. This is comfortable. I like church. You know, I can come and they can sing the song that I want them to sing and they'll pray for my bad hand when I've got a bad hand because it's family, it's lovely together. Well, we want to keep the good of that, but that will hold us back. We need to move on. See, God wants us to conquer Reading. God wants us to make a difference. Okay? Cell church has come. House church has gone. And the Lord's given us a building. It's going to be a temple for the Lord in the right sense, where worship and prayer will be offered up to him. It'll be a temple for the Lord where ministry goes out from there to the people of Reading. So we've got to lose that old mentality. We need to move on and leave our old view of church, whatever that might be, behind. That God can do a new thing among us. Number three, small-mindedness. It's of the past. God's a big God. He's got a big vision. Do you know what? He rewards those who are faithful. But he doesn't leave them with faithful little things. He gives them big things. He's always expanding. John talked about the universe. Jamie amazed me the other day. He was telling me that there are more stars than there are sands of grain on the seashore. And I'm thinking, well, I can see billions of sands of grain just in Bournemouth, yet alone all the rest of the coast around this country and all the other countries in the world and everything else. And what it just amazed me, Jamie, because I was thinking, that universe is a bit bigger than I was realizing. You know, we've got a big God. We've got a big God. He wants us to think big. From Genesis to Revelation, it's multitudes, it's tribes, it's nations. You know, I love it. You look at the end of the book, wherever it is. You look at the end of the book, and you see
too many people to count. More than the sand, maybe on Bournemouth. Yeah, too many people to count worshipping the Lord. Because the church has fulfilled its calling and its destiny. And Jesus is being rewarded as the lamb that was slain. He's receiving his reward. So we've got to get rid of small-mindedness and begin to think, small's important, but God's big as well. And God wants the big. He wants a big church. Robin Gardner, the pastor at Vineyard in Reading, he challenges me. Somebody said to him, "What's your vision, Robin?" "My vision is to see at least 51% of the people of Reading saved." He says it every time, immediately. "What's your vision?" "51% at least." That's 125,000 people. It's a big vision. And God wants to do big things. And we need to get rid of small-mindedness. We need to repent of little thinking, because we'll never receive all that God's got for us. Linked to that is small faith. I really honestly thank God for this journey we're on in getting the pavilion. Yeah, you know, I say that. God could have done this much easier. He could have given us the money before we even bought the place. But faith is rising in our hearts. Giants, which a year or so ago looked impossible, have come down. Yeah, we're throwing out a figure of 25,000, and I'm expecting to see that. 25,000. You know, when you sit around this trustees meeting and figures are talked about, you know, 5 here, 10 here, you begin to think, it's not just £5 and £10. This is 5,000, 10,000. You know, it's a bigger sort of thing we've moved into. God wants faith to grow in our hearts. We want to be men of faith. And so we've got a 25,000 giant there. Lord, you're going to bring that down in Jesus' name. We don't know how you're going to do it. We're going to pray. We're going to be obedient. We're going to do what we can do, but we're trusting you. Because you've taken us on this journey. You've done it in the past, you're going to do it in the future. And when we get into that building, I was saying to people the other day, when we get to that building, I don't think the giants will disappear. I think there's going to be all sorts of different sorts of giants that the Lord will be enabling us to overcome, because we've overcome these previous ones. Giants of addictions, giants of connecting with different people groups, giants of dealing with all sorts of giants will come down. So the Lord's taking us on a journey. Hallelujah. Small faith of the past. And maybe for one or two here, this needs to be in the past too. Life without Christ. Maybe for some, you've just never received the Lord. You don't know Jesus as Savior. We're talking about, last week it was Oh Happy Day. This week, my chains have gone. I've been set free. You don't know what we're talking about, and you can't know what we're talking about unless Jesus comes into your life. But that's what he died for. That's what we were celebrating today. That you might have that newness of life, of sins forgiven, of guilt dealt with. No guilty conscience. Totally washed clean. Every sin in the past. You'll never receive that if you don't make that initial response and turn to Jesus as Lord. Because there's a God-shaped hole in all of us that only he can fill. Some of us in the past, we turned to drugs, we turned to sex, we turned to music, we focused on careers, boyfriends, girlfriends, money, they all seem like fun and good things to have, but people in this hall have said, but they didn't satisfy. Ultimately, they didn't satisfy. Ultimately, there was still something missing. And do you know what they found that was? Salvation through Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody here this morning, life without Christ can go. It can be part of the past. Paul says, before we were saved, we were without God and without hope. And that's true. No hope, no future. But that can all turn around, because he wants to come and make you, help you to be born again. So let me just whiz through this other section here. If you've got heart issues, get healed. Get your heart healed. Make it a priority. Release forgiveness. Own up to it. Speak well of each other. Bless the person that has offended you. Acknowledge a disappointment, but ask God to give you faith again to believe. Get your heart healed. Church, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be influential, if we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do, we need healed hearts. It's the healed and the whole which will be able to heal the brokenhearted. Small vision, they're linked together here, aren't they? Small vision, old way of doing church. Small-mindedness, it's time to dream big dreams. That building, Pastor Caesar might be right, that building looks small to me sometimes. That's what he told us, it was too small. You know, sometimes it looks small because we've got big dreams. We've got big dreams. I want to encourage you, dream those big dreams. Believe God for those big dreams. Don't settle for small little dreams. Jackie Curtis, she had 30-something mums and Sean, and 40-something children in toddlers this week. Didn't want to include you there, Sean, as a mum. And 40, I mean, it's absolutely great. It's bursting at the seams. I think the Lord wants to even develop that even more when we get down to the pavilion. Dream big dreams. I've got big dreams for children, for youth. You know my big dreams. I've got lots of them. So think big. Dream big. It's part of the new season God wants to bring us into. Number four, believe. All things are possible if we believe. That's what Jesus said. The children of Israel never received it because they didn't believe. All of that was available. All your dreams are available, by the way, if you believe. And when you believe, you'll obey and you'll do what you need to do. But that whole population missed out because they couldn't find faith. They couldn't believe. They didn't trust God. He was giving them a land flowing with milk and honey, but they were happy.